Muqtada al-Sadr is variously described as leader of a militia, which he calls the al-Mahdi army, as a young cleric, as a firebrand, one cut above a street thug. David Patel, a Stanford University doctoral candidate, spent 7 months in southern Iraq. He joins us from Amman, Jordan. David Patel, when we hear about Muqtada al-Sadr, should we think this is someone with a considerable following, or this is someone who is as much an irritant to Iraqis as he is to Americans?
Well, Muqtada al-Sadr is a very young cleric. He's probably between the ages of 24 and 32, depending on your opinion of him. And basically, his influence stems from his father's network. His father was a senior cleric, an ayatollah, Muhammad Sadiq al-Sadr. And after his death, Muqtada has continued his offices, the marja'iyya, the apparatus of his ayatollah. But because of his father's family, he has been able to cause a lot of problems, both for the coalition and for average Iraqis.
But do you get the impression that he's regarded by, as you say, average Iraqis as some sort of heroic rebel or as somebody who ought to be suppressed and gotten out of Najaf?
I don't think he's recognized as a hero. His support is limited to a few key areas, especially what's now been called Sadr City in Baghdad and a few southern cities, parts of Al-Amar and parts of Basra. But the vast majority of Shias do not follow him, and even his own followers do not recognize him as a religious leader. They recognize him as a political leader of a fringe faction that has not been invested in the political process and doesn't seem like they have much interest in being invested in the political process.
It's a fringe faction that seems to have been suffering heavy losses in fighting with U.S. troops over the past week or so, or more than that. Do you get the sense that there are more where these fighters come from?
No, I don't. I think that Muqtada al-Sadr represents one branch of a larger movement, and the larger movement is named after his father, Muhammad Sadiq al-Sadr. There are other factions, and they haven't come to his support during the standoff with coalition forces. And even elements of Hezbollah, they may have some sympathy for the political program of Muqtada's father, and again, they have not come to support him. So I think this standoff has really weakened his support. I think a lot of his hardcore followers, especially from Sadr City, have been killed. And I think it got to the point where he probably had very few people who were willing to go out there and risk their lives for his so-called cause.
So if we were reading or hearing about today's events and this agreement concerning Najaf through Iraqi eyes and ears, we would see Muqtada al-Sadr as suffering a setback. Who would we see as the winners?
I think Sistani is the real winner in this. Sistani was able to deal with this young upstart, have the U.S. really basically take out his hardcore support without him coming out and taking a strong stand against Muqtada al-Sadr and his actions alone. I think Muqtada al-Sadr has completely alienated the clerical establishment and perhaps more importantly the bourgeoisie class in Najaf and Karbala, who are very important for upward mobility in the clerical establishment. Najaf and Karbala were booming after the war. They probably benefited more than any other cities in Iraq because of all the pilgrims, tens of thousands of pilgrims, mostly from Iran, who've been pouring in. During the standoff, the shrine cities have been empty, and they've lost millions of dollars. Muqtada al-Sadr has really burnt his bridges with the people who are very important in determining where you're going to end up in the clerical establishment. And I think Sistani has really eliminated the key rival, at least in the short term, to political leadership.
David Patel, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Patel is a doctoral candidate at Stanford University, and he spent 7 months in southern Iraq and spoke to us today from Amman, Jordan.